ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्त देहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ ईशावास्यमिदं सर्वम् ईशावास्यमिदं सर्वम् यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा गृधः कस्य सिद्धनम् कस्य सिद्धनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि कर्माणि जीविषेच्छतम् समाः जीविषेच्छतम् समाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असुर्यानाम ते लोकाः अन्धेन तमसा वृताः तांस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति गच्छन्ति ये के चात्महनो जनाः
ये के चात्महनो जनाः
अनीजदेकम् मनसो जवीयः नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तद्धावतोऽन्यान् अत्येति तिष्ठत्तस्मिन् अपो तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो मातरिष्वा दधाति तदेजति तन्नैजति तद्दूरे
दूरे
तद्वन्तिके
तद्वन्तिके
तदन्तरस्य सर्वस्य तदु
तदु
सर्वस्यास्य बाह्यतः
सर्वस्यास्य बाह्यतः
यस्तु सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मन्येवानुपश्यति सर्वभूतेषु चात्मानम् ततो न विजुगुप्सते यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मैवाभूद्विजानतः आत्मैवाभूद् विजानतः तत्र को मोहः कशोकः एकत्वमनुपश्यतः saw very clearly ekatvam anupashyatah. For the person who sees oneness of the reality, seeing the oneness of the reality means there is no second thing other than the reality. There is no second thing other than the reality means, if at all there is anything, that is only mithya. Okay? There is no second reality. There is no second thing other than the reality. What is only the reality. If at all you say anything else is there, that is mithya. Mithya means that which is seemingly there, that which is as good as non-existent. Okay, this must be very clear. So this person who has the vision of the reality as one's own self, who sees the same self being the self of all the beings, for him there is no second thing, second reality. There is nothing other than the self. For him, second thing being not there. How can there be grief for such a person? How can there be any delusion for such a person? To mistake one for the other, to be confused of two things, there must be two things. No more delusion. There is nothing which can harm him. There is no fear, there is no birth, there is no death, there is no change. Therefore there is no need, there can't be any grief also. That's made very clear. And towards the end, we are reading Adishita Bhagavata's Bhashyam. We'll go to that line. And one more line we have to complete. Shokascha mohascha, page number 51, Vibhashan, who are following Vibhashan, the last sentence in the paragraph. I can quickly read Vibhashan from the 7th mantra. Yasmin kale yathokta atmaniva tanyeva bhutani sarvani paramartha atma darshanat atmeva ho atmeva. I said samvrittaha yesterday because I didn't notice it correctly. Samvrittaha. Not samvrittaha, but samvrittaha is correct. samvrittaha means became. Paramartha vastu vijanataha tatra tasmin kale tatra atmanivaha ko moha kashoka. You have seen next line. Shokascha mohascha kama karma bhijam ajanataha bhavati. Shokascha mohascha bhavati. Grief and delusion or conflict can happen only for the person who is ignorant. We have understood very clearly it is possible for the one who is ignorant of the self. But Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear. Of course, any ignorant person will have grief and delusion. And by knowing the truth, he can free himself from grief and delusion. But he talks about the person who is ignorant of the ignorance. I said, kama karma bijam, the seed of desire and action is ignorance. The ignorant person who is ignorant of their ignorance, who does not know that he does not know the truth, only he does not know that he does not know the self, for such a person, the grief and delusion will always be there. How can one free himself from oneself from delusion and grief and all samsara? First of all, one must know about one's ignorance. Then one can work to resolve the ignorance. So it is said, I just want to make it clear. People are searching, not knowing what they are searching for. And people are searching, not knowing where they should search for. When the search is happening, not knowing what you are searching for, not knowing where you should search for, the search will never come to an end. If you must know what you are searching for first, then you can find out where you should go and search for. Then search will come to an end. You get it. What you are searching for, you get it. The search will come to an end. That is why purusharthas are always analyzed in the very beginning. When you study the shastram systematically, when you understand the teaching, even before you are introduced to the Vedanta study, there is an introduction to introduction. Introduction to the Vedanta study. There you understand very clearly what you are studying Vedanta for. It must be very clear. The purpose of studying Vedanta must be very clear. What am I studying the Vedanta for? You know, Vedanta is the pramanam. It's an instrument of knowledge. It's an authentic, valid means of knowledge. How your eyes are the valid means of knowledge of light and all lights which reflect the, all objects which reflect the light. How your hearing power is the authentic, valid means of knowledge of the object called sound. How your own taste buds are the means of knowledge of the object called a taste. How your skin, the twag indriyam, your sense of touch is the means of knowledge of the object called cold and heat. how you smell, your power of smelling is the means of knowledge of Yabhirkar, the smell. To have the knowledge of the absolute reality, the ultimate truth of the whole cosmos, Vedanta Shastram, otherwise called Jnana Kandaha of Veda, consisting of Upanishads, is the valid authentic means of knowledge. If it is the valid authentic means of knowledge, why should I know the truth? I can use this pramanam, I can study. By studying it, I can have the knowledge of the truth. Why should I know the truth? You should know the value of knowledge as well. It's a connection. Sadhana, sadhya, sambandha must be very clear. Sambandha must be very clear. So Vedanta Shastram I study because it is a valid means of knowledge of the truth. But why should I know the truth? Why should I break my head to know the truth? I can go for a cruise all the always. Drink, dance, enjoy. I can go for searching for pleasures. Because knowledge of the truth is actually knowledge of what happiness is. Knowledge of the truth itself is knowledge of what freedom is. Freedom from limitations, happiness, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from bondage, freedom from limitations is in fact your ultimate choiceless goal, choiceless end. This becomes very clear when you analyze the Purusharthas. Even I introduced earlier, even artha pursuit for security, pursuit of wealth and things which make me feel secure, also even my pursuit of security is for my happiness. My pursuit of pleasures, enjoyment of pleasures is for my happiness. Even my charitable activities are for happiness. Even a person decides, make it a point to live a life of values, of dharma. All our reaching out activities are for ultimately for happiness. Whatever a person does, ultimately one does it for one's own happiness and peace. Therefore, happiness is the ultimate choiceless end. And that happiness cannot be accomplished by any means. This is a fact. This fact must become very clear. Happiness or absolute peace cannot be accomplished, cannot be attained by any other means. Must be convinced of the fact. And happiness is not even a state of mind, it is the very nature of reality. But understanding what happiness is, understanding what fullness is, what limitlessness is. In fact, our ignorance of what happiness is the cause of unhappiness. We do not know what happiness is. Not knowing what happiness is the cause of unhappiness. Therefore, if you want to get rid of, want to become free from unhappiness, better we understand what happiness is. You have to understand happiness. Happiness is intrinsic, inseparable, surupa, nature of reality. I told you already, fullness is nature of reality, limitlessness is nature of reality. When I say nature of reality, it is inseparable. intrinsic nature. I told you this at the very beginning of my class also. I told you this. I'm repeating it today again. You can never have the knowledge of what heat is without knowing what fire is. Heat and fire are inseparable. Heat is the intrinsic property of the fire. Similarly, you can never understand what happiness is, fullness is, unless you understand what reality is. Therefore, happiness or peace, absolute peace, happens to be my ultimate choiceless end. There's no way of finding out, discovering happiness without discovering what reality is. And that comes, that reality which is of the nature of happiness, discovery which itself is discovery of happiness. There are two different things. Discovery of the truth is the means to discover what happiness is, the end. But still, the knowledge and the freedom are identical. Knowledge itself is freedom. This is a fact, must become very clear. Once this is very clear, then the question comes, how can I discover the truth? How can I discover the reality? What is the means of discovering the reality? That is when the Shastram comes to rescue. Shastram is the means of knowledge of reality. But Shastram tells you that reality is everywhere. It is always, it is there as everything, but it has to be discovered. It's available for recognition where it is manifest. Because reality is not recognizable where it is not manifest. Okay? Where there is no manifestation of reality, then reality is not available for recognition. Even everything is reality only. Why can't you recognize reality in the wall or in your body? No. It's available for recognition in your own mind. Not as an object, but as the very truth of this subject. This is a fact, I've been repeating it. One must know. Then Shastram says, in fact, you do not know what you are. Let me start from here. Why are we born here? Why are we born here? Because we are karma, or prarabdha karma, or janma preserved. Janma is ordained by our prarabdha karma phalam, result of actions. To exhaust the results of actions, we are born here. So janma is, birth is determined by prarabdha karma phalam. And why do we have prarabdha karma phalam? Karma phalam, because we have done knowingly, unknowingly, unintentionally or intentionally, we have performed actions. And why did we perform actions? Because we had desires. And why did we have desires? Because we have the problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I. What? Okay, we had a problem of the fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of being a mortal centered on I. We had these notions, strong notions, I am a mortal, I am inadequate, I am unhappy, I am insignificant, I am insecure. These are all the notions centered on I. See, even if science helps you, even science can never help you arrive at the reality. Even if science helps you, I have great respect and great love for science. Science is discovery of what is science. And when if you making use of what is technology. You know, you all know very well. So science can never help you arrive at the reality. If at all science helps you arrive at the reality, if at all, it cannot help you resolve your fundamental problem. Whole problem is centered on I. Problem is centered on I. Somebody is going to die, you don't care. Other person is going to die tomorrow. We pay away. We leave it. It doesn't affect too much. I am going to die tomorrow. Somebody is not, somebody is uneducated, very small in terms of education, academic achievements, small in terms of wealth, small in terms of position, small in terms of position. Who cares? I am small. I am insecure. I am insignificant. I am insignificant. I am unhappy. I am insecure. I am inadequate. See, the problem is centered on I really want to understand. This is very, very, very important. There's a common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, sense of insignificance, sense of being a mortal, strongly centered on I. It is this problem which gives rise to the fundamental problem of wanting to be alive forever happily. It is this fundamental problem which gives rise to the fundamental desire of wanting to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. And it is this fundamental desire which gives rise to many desires, and desires result in actions. Actions produce results. To exhaust the results, we have to be born again. Understand? And now, we understand why diseases are. Now, why there is this fundamental problem centered on common human fundamental problem centered on I say this. Why? It's not just one person's problem. It's a common human fundamental problem centered on I repeat so many times. Because you are the problem. Problem is you, solution is you. That is why. Isn't it? And why this fundamental problem? Because the attributes, the limitations, or the features of anatma are superimposed upon atma. The physical body's problems are attributes, the mind's problems, the problems of sense organs, the attributes of the physiological functions, all of them are superimposed upon the atma. The superimposition of limitations of anatma upon the atma is called adhyarupaha. The next question comes, why do you superimpose? Why do you take the body's problems as your problems? Why do you take your mind's problems as your problems? Why? It is not that you want to take. Okay? It is not, see, you are not blamed. Please understand, Shastram does not blame us. Okay? Shastram does not There's no condemnation. You're only helped to see, understand the problem. When a doctor, you go to a doctor with your illness, suffering, pain, doctor doesn't blame you. Why did you get this? How did you get this? He doesn't blame you. He only diagnoses the problem and helps you. That's what Shuddhi does. So it is not for self-condemnation. Please understand, self-condemnation is the worst thing. This naturally, why the limitations of non-self are superimposed upon the self? Because in your perception, non-self is the self. You mistake the non-self for this self. You mistake yourself for something which you are not. And this mistaking oneself for something which one is not is called adhyasa. I want to understand the reason, okay? And why there is adhyasa. It's called erroneous self-perception. And this is because, why do you mistake yourself for something which you are not? Why there is erroneous self-perception? Because there is ignorance of the self. You do not know what you are. You mistake yourself for something which you are not. You mistake the non-self for the self. Because you do not know what you are. Which means you do not know what I is. What I am. Who I am. Is not knowing what you are. What I am. Is what? Self-ignorance. If you do not know you are, then you can never know what you are, then you could have been groping in total ignorance like animals. But you are a human being, the most sophisticated being, because you are blessed with this half knowledge of your existence. You know you are. You know you are. Isn't it? You know you are. But you do not know what you are. And you do not know that you do not know what you are. It is very important to know. Now I tell you, is this partial ignorance of not knowing what I am. Even though I am not like any other living creature, any other animal which does not know its own existence. There is no knowledge of existence on the part of any animal. Animals are alive. They have a certain degree of knowledge is manifest because they have some certain, there is a sukshma shariram. Therefore, knowledge is manifest on the part of all animals, even on the part of all plants, because the sukshma is a very inferior, sukshma shariram of animals and plants are very inferior order. There is a certain degree of manifestation of knowledge, but there is no manifestation of knowledge of existence of the self. That's why animals are not self-conscious beings. Human being alone is self-conscious being. Human being alone knows one's own existence in terms of I am. You know you are, but you do not know what you are. When you say do not know what you are, what does it mean? You know that I, what this I is. not know what I am. Even though you do not know what you are, once you know that you do not know what you are eligible, you can discover what you are because of partial knowledge. That's why Shankar Bhagavatpada says, why ignorance is the kama karma bijam. Is it clear now? What is, if you see the cause, root cause of bondage is ignorance, and in the order, why, what is action? Action is impelled by desire, and desire is impelled by, is it the sense, fundamental problem. Fundamental problem is because of superimposition of limitations of non-self upon the self. And superimposition of limitations of non-self upon self is because of erroneous self-perception. Erroneous self-perception is because of ignorance. Therefore, what is the cause of, what is the seed of action? Ignorance. What is the seed of desire? Ignorance. Is it clear? Just to make you this one sentence understand, kama karma bijam. What is seed of any action? Action itself is product of ignorance. Desire is product of ignorance. And you can understand, hatred, raga, dvesha, everything is product of ignorance. All are products of ignorance. Therefore, when ignorance is resolved, all of them will be resolved for good. Karana nashe karyasya nashaha. And the cause is removed, the effect will remove by itself. Isn't it? Nimittasya nashe naimittikasya nashaha. And the cause is removed, effect will remove. It will be removed. Is it clear? Therefore, I just want to explain how seed of desire and action is ignorance. Kama karma bijam ajnanam. What ajnanam is it? Not knowing what this I is. What I am. This is self-ignorance. And the problem which Shankaracharya says, if it is natural for you, very natural, being ignorant of what I am, not knowing what I am, is very natural. Ignorance, we don't need to feel bad about being ignorant. Being ignorant is not a crime, not a papam, it is natural. Why we are born ignorant? The question is not necessary. It is natural. It is natural, that is how everything is. The ignorance is very natural. But when you do not know that there is ignorance, then there is no way of resolving the ignorance. The Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very important here. When he talks about this Shoka and Moha, all effort is for us to be relieved of Shoka Moha. At least if you know you are ignorant, there's a possibility. If you do not even know you are ignorant, there's no way of freeing yourself from bondage. Therefore he emphasizes here, shokascha mohascha kama karma bijam ajanataha bhavati. For the person who does not know the seed of seed of desire and action being ignorance, for him alone shoka moha is possible. Ok, Okay. Suppose the person comes to know that I am ignorant of what I am, then he can discover what I am, then he can have a clear vision of oneness of the reality, and he understands that reality which is of the nature of, which is oneness, which is only reality, is absolutely free from all impurities and all blemishes, all punya pavams. It is free. He can discover freedom. Because discovery of the truth, obtaining as one's own self, is discovery of freedom. And one more thing, this another way of seeing this problem. If a human being is searching for happiness, why is he searching for happiness? Why is he searching for peace? You will not search for something what you already have. Isn't it? Happiness is the purushartha because there is unhappiness. There is unhappiness. Why there is unhappiness? Because there are problems in life. There is not even one human being who does not have problems at all. Problems may vary from person to person, but every human being definitely has his or her own problems. The problems make a human being, problems are there, therefore human being is unhappy. And this is where Shastra says, all these so-called problems of human beings, different problems of human beings, can be resolved, are caused by one fundamental problem. That is what is common human fundamental problem. Okay? And if the fundamental problem is resolved, then all so-called problems will be resolved for good. And the fundamental problem is caused by, we saw this one, ignorance. What ignorance? Self-ignorance. It is not enough if we discover the truth. Discovering the truth, obtaining one's own self, is for you to correct the error in perception of yourself. We are not intellectually inclined just to know what the truth is. We are interested in sorting out our problem. Why should I discover the truth if it's not going to help me resolve my problem? Understand now? Very important. I'm not simply interested in knowing the truth or Bhagavan. I won't be interested in Bhagavan also. If Bhagavan is not going to help me to live my life peacefully and happily. I'm interested in my happiness. I want to be happy. My happiness is important. Our interest in knowledge of the truth is actually to sort out my problem. Understand? Only then it becomes a spiritual pursuit. Otherwise, it will be mere academic, intellectual exercise. Okay, study of Shastra will become an intellectual exercise if the Purusha, if it is not for, if not understood. I study this for knowing the truth, not for anything else. For sorting out my own problem, for my happiness, then it is a spiritual pursuit. Is it clear? Okay. You can listen to anything, no problem, but you must remember Vedanta is the means of knowledge. And all that you are practicing here is fantastic. They all contribute tremendously for preparing a mind for jnana. The dedication, the sacrifice, the practices you do, the puja, the bhajan, sitting quietly, yoga, tapa, everything is tremendously contribute for your preparedness. Preparedness is not easy to get. the vigorous, you know, the practices are important to prepare your mind. To our dedication in conformity to Dharma, we do this. Okay, let us go to the class now. So, na tu atma ekatvam vishuddham gaganogumam pashyatah na shokah mohah. Page number 52. Ko mohah kashokah iti shokamohayo avidya kāryayo ākṣepena asambhava darshanā sakāraṇasya samsārasya atyantameva ucchedaha pradarshitaha bhavati
Pradarshito
bhavati.
Pradarshito bhavati.
Pradarshito bhavati.
Pradarshito
bhavati. So what he says, ko mohaha ko shokaha. We break it. Kaha mohaha. Kaha shokaha. What is grief? What is delusion? For the person who has discovered the oneness of the truth. But discover the truth, be only secondless, non-dual reality. What is grief and what is delusion for the person who has discovered the oneness, only secondless, non-dual reality, in whose clear vision there is no second thing other than the truth. There is nothing other than the truth. All that is, there is only the truth. For a person to see everything is the truth, he must have discovered the truth as the truth of I. So, what he says, here even though the questions are asked, kaha mohaha, kaha shokaha, yesterday itself made very clear, these are not, questions are not asked. We are not asked the questions. What is moha, what is grief, what is delusion? We are not expected to answer these questions. These questions are presented as shoka moha yoho avidya karya karya yoho. The shoka and moha products of ignorance cannot be there for the person who has clear vision. Therefore, akshepena, as an objection, this is a question, is not actual question, as an objection it is mentioned here, saying asambhava pradarshana, shoka and moha cannot happen at all. It shows these questions by objection, they only show that shoka and moha cannot be there at all. The impossibility of grief and delusion happening there is shown by these questions. Not actually questions. Okay. And by that else is shown sakaranasya samsarasya atyantameva uchedaha. Uchedaha means removal, destruction. It is total resolution of, absolute resolution of samsara along with its cause, ignorance. the knowledge takes place, not ignorance goes, and ignorance caused, all problems will resolve for good. Right from where? Adhyasa will go, Adhyarupa will go, Asha, disease will go, fundamental problem will resolve. Isn't it? Then karma goes, karma phalam goes, kartrutvam will go, bhoktrutvam will go, punya papam goes. You are free. Knowledge does not remove anything. Knowledge will help you take ownership of what you are essentially. Knowledge does not make you a non-doer. Knowledge will help you take ownership of your swarupa being already non-doer. Already you are non-doer. Already you are non-enjoyer. Already you are free. You need not attain freedom. In fact, attainment of freedom, attainment of happiness is actually taking ownership of your what you are already. Isn't it? You take ownership of what you are essentially. You are already, you are of the nature of fullness. Already you are of the nature of happiness. Already you are of the nature of absolute peace. Already you are free from doership. Already you are free from enjoyership. You do not attain anything. You shift the essence from anatma, body, mind, sense complex, to consciousness, atma. You see yourself from what you are essentially, absolutely. You discover yourself being already free. Okay? That is why moksha is actually accomplishment of the already accomplished. Attainment of what has been already attained. You don't need to become free, you are already free. You don't need to become happy, you are already happiness. That is why self-discovery is very important. Okay. Now, we see next mantra now. I won't tell you what. Samsarasya uchedaha means the samsara will be resolved for good. Not being afflicted by samsara, not being subject to samsara means not being free from the experience of pairs of opposites. Now when it happens, your shoka goes, your moha also is not there in deep sleep state. In deep sleep state also there is no shokaha, no moha. Isn't it? In deep sleep state also there is no shokaha, no moha. Whenever you are engrossed in enjoyment of some object, also when you are engrossed in some pleasure, also there is no shoka, no moha. Vishaya bhoge no shoka, na shokaha, na bhogaha. As long as you are engrossed in enjoying some object, that time also you have experiencing pleasure. As long as you are experiencing pleasure, being engrossed in enjoyment of any object, then also there is no shoka, there is no moha for it. Temporarily. And even in death, suppose death happens. When death happens also, there is no shoka, there is no moha. I'm just telling you, when all we are free from grief and delusion, or all this, the problems of samsara, your temporary freedom in sleep, your temporary freedom in death, your temporary freedom in enjoyment of pleasure and any object, engrossed in the enjoyment of an object, experiencing the object, going through pleasure, then even a person who is in coma has temporary moksha. There is no shoka moha for a person who is in coma. No shoka moha for a person who is dead. No shoka moha for a person who is fast asleep. There is no shoka moha for a person who is engrossed in the enjoyment of an object. But that temporary freedom, that freedom from shoka moha in sleep, in death, in coma, or even in pralaya, even the whole jagat becomes dissolved, even in pralaya, when the pralaya takes place, when the whole everything is dissolved naturally, once in 4 yugas, even then, if at all there is no shoka moha, but I tell you, that only temporary, that freedom is only temporary. If you, then after death, there is no shoka moha, only for a short time. Why? Because you are in keeping your parabdha, you will be born again. That is not, so freedom from shoka moha, freedom from grief and delusion, which any individual can enjoy, is only temporary. You have to be born again to go through life. Even in sleep, you are free from shoka moha, but you cannot be sleeping always. You have to get up from sleep. Okay? Even if you don't want to get up, your parabdha karma will wake you up. Push you and wake up. You can't escape. So, even a person who is in coma, oh, very nice to be in coma. No. Even a person is in coma, when the prarabdha gets exhausted, that person will leave the physical body, he will die. Okay? And he has to come back. Coma is only experiencing some prarabdha karma, going through some prarabdha karma, being in coma. It also prarabdha of other people who have to look after the person in coma. But then there is no shoka moha. That person has no sukham, no dukham, vegetable like. But even then, that is not permanent freedom. I want to say, you want permanent freedom from grief and delusion and all the ill effects of ignorance, knowledge is the only means. Permanent freedom from grief and delusion. Atyantameva uccedaha. Not temporary freedom, atyantameva uccedaha. Total. Is a freedom from bondage for good. Is possible only in jnanam. For which, only in clear vision, ignorance will resolve by itself. We do not destroy ignorance. Okay? Ignorance will be resolved along with the ignorance. Ignorance caused samsara also. All problems of so-called problems of life also will be resolved. With this vision, you can live in this world as a jivana mukta, free. While living, you can live your life objectively without internalizing. That's why objectivity is freedom. Subjectivity is bondage. In ignorance, you are very subjective, you internalize everything as well. In knowledge, you are objective, you are free. Okay. People can come and ask me these questions, you see. What happens in a person who, what is... Many people ask this question about coma. Don't worry, karma is only going through some paramita karma phala. And the paramita gets exhausted, the person has to leave the physical body. Again, death. Only for temporary freedom, paramita will get him a new body with Milani already to come back. So, no freedom. So, temporary freedom should not be mistaken for permanent solution. What is the permanent solution? Jnana. Okay. We'll go to next mantra. Yoyam. Atitaihi mantraihi. Page 52. Yoyam. Atitehi mantrehi uktaha atma saha svena rupena kim lakshana iti ah ayam mantraha svena rupena kim lakshana ityah ayam mantraha. So, this is the concluding verse, concluding mantra, presenting the Atma Swarupam. As I said, six mantras from 3rd to 8th discuss only Jnana Yoga subject matter. I said, we already see 7 mantras. So this is like a concluding summary of what has been already discussed in the previous mantras. So yaha ayam atma, the atma which has been previously analyzed, discussed in previous mantras. Purvaihi mantraihi. The Atma Swarupam which was discussed already by the previous mantras. And that Atma, Svena Rupena Kim Lakshanaha. What is the nature of that Atma which has been already discussed? Again, the 8th mantra also discusses Atma Swarupam and Atma Rupam. Atma Swarupam and Atma Rupam. When I say Atma Rupam, Sopadhika Drishtya, with Upadhi, how Atma is and how Atma is without the Upadhi. What is the nature of Atma? In what form does the reality obtain? This is a correct question. Okay? In what form does reality obtain? What is the nature of the Atma? From the standpoint of the reality. From the standpoint of the nature, what is the nature without any upadis? That is discussed. Look at this. Kim lakshanaha means kim lakshanam atmanaha. Lakshanam, what is the swarupam and rupam of the Atma? kim lakshanam atmanah, kim lakshanah atmanah. It's a people who study Sanskrit, it's bahurihi compound. When I say, very important to understand this. In what form does water obtain, if we ask, with reference to ocean. With reference to ocean, if we ask you the question, in what form does water obtain, you have to say what? Water obtains in the form of existence of the ocean. Water obtains in the form of existence of the ocean. Similarly, what is the, in what form does Atma obtain? In what form does reality obtain? The water is a very gross example. In what form does reality obtain? If we ask this question, why do we need to know in what form does reality obtain? Atma is a word implying the reality. And reality is the subtlest. Subtlest means most abstract. Most abstract means what? It cannot be perceived through senses. It does not have attributes. It cannot be conceived through your mind. It is not available for objectification. It cannot be described by the words. Indescribable, imperceptible, inconceivable. How can we understand the Atma? Therefore, Upanishad has to tell us in what form does reality obtain. And to arrive at the reality in terms of its nature, Upanishad presents these words. Okay, look at this now. Saha Paryagat.
Saha Paryagat.
Okay, to see the mantra first. Sa Paryagat Chukram.
Sa Paryagat Chukram.
Akayam.
Akayam.
Avranam.
Asnaviram.
Shuddham.
Apapaviddham.
Kavirmanishi.
Varibhu
Swayambhu. Yathadatya Tortham. Yathadatya Tortham. Vyadadhan chashvadibhyaha samabhyaha saparyagachukramakayamavranam chukramakayamavranam asnaviragam shuddham apapaviddham kavirmanishi Paribhu Swayambhu Yatha Tatya Dothan Vyadadha Chashradibhya Samabhya. Let me break the mantra. Saha. See, the visarga is dropped. Sa Paryagat. Visarga is dropped. Saha Paryagat. First word is what? Paryagat. Paryagat Shukram. If you break it, Paryagat Shukram. See, Saha Atma. Saha means what? Saha is a masculine gender pronoun. And Atma is a Nakaranta Pullinga Shabda. Masculine gender word. Therefore, Saha Atma, that Which Atma? The Atma which has been, the Swarupma of which has been already discussed in previous mantras, that Atma. First, which is what? Pariyagat. See, Pariyagat is a verb. Pariyagat, Pariyagat means that which has gone everywhere. Gone everywhere is a verb. So whenever verb is used in the context of Atma, it should be taken as a noun. Okay? So all pervasive, Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. So here we understand what is all pervasiveness. So reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness. It's a fact. We are not able to understand this fact. Reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness. When Upanishad says, what should be our Shraddha? There's no place Atma is not. No time Atma is not. There's no object which is not pervaded by Atma. Atma is everywhere, always in everything. Because Atma is the reality. So Parhigat is all, Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Next word. Shukram.
Shukram.
See, Shukram. If you don't break it, Chukram in mantra. Isn't it? Parhigat Chukram. You break it, Parhigat Shukram. Palatal Shukram. Shukram. Shukram means, literally means pure. But here, another word also is used here. Shuddham. Shukram, Shuddham. The word Shuddham is going to come later on. Shukram and Shuddham, both the words mean pure. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada gives another meaning for this word Shukram. Shukram is effulgent. Literal meaning we'll see, we'll go to see the meaning. Bhashyam also we'll see, read again. So Atma is of the nature of absolute purity. Atma is ever pure. Pure means what? Atma is free from all impurities, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety. Atma is reality obtaining in the form of consciousness. In what form does Atma obtain? Atma obtains in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Now, does consciousness have any impurity? Does consciousness have jealousy, hatred, anger, fear? No. Consciousness has no fear, anger, etc. is ever free. Consciousness, no impurity can touch the consciousness. Isn't it? Very Shuddha. And here, so consciousness is of the nature of absolute purity, which is going to come later on. So here the word Shukram should be taken as what? Effulgent. Effulgent means Atma is of the nature of self-effulgence. What does it mean? We do not need any means of knowledge. Atma is not dependent on any means of knowledge to come to light. What does it mean? Self-effulgent means, see, to know whether sun is there or not, you need not take your torchlight. Isn't it? You don't need torchlight to know whether sun is there or not. Why? Sun is of the nature of self-effulgence, self-revealing. Similarly, to know, do you need any instrument of knowledge to know you are? Do you need any other instrument of knowledge to know you are? Your mind need not be there. Sense organs need not be there. You do not need anything to know you are in waking. Because self-evident, self-effulgent. So Atma is, the whole Jagat is evident to you, okay, but you are self-evident. What is the evidence that you are here? What is the evidence? You are evident. You are the evidence, okay? To know light is, what is the evidence? It's simple. To know somebody is talking there, what is the evidence? Your sense, eyes and also ears. Isn't it? So the whole Jagat is evident to you and you are self-evident. You are the evidence for your existence. So self-evident, is it true? Self-evident. Being self-evident is what? Being self-evident. Is it clear? Self-evident. So Atma is of the nature of effulgence, means to know your existence. Atma is not dependent on anything else to know its own existence. Okay? You know you are. So Shukra means Atma is of nature of self-effulgence. Next. Akayam. The word kayam literally means body. In Tamil also it means body, kayam. But here we should take, Shankaracharya says, kayam means subtle body, sukshma sharidam. Sukshma sharidam is what? All subtle aspects. Kayam means subtle body. Akaya means Atma is free from subtle body. Atma does not have subtle body. Atma does not have seeing power. Atma does not have hearing power. Atma does not have any power, okay, etc. Okay? Atma does not have indriyani. Atma does not have mind. Atma does not have physiological functions. Atma does not have hunger, thirst. Atma does not have digestive system, circulatory system. Atma does not have anything. So Atma doesn't have problems of those systems also. But all are Atma. Okay? Mind belongs to Atma. Mind is Atma. Sense organs are Atma. Okay? Physiological functions are Atma. Powers of organs of action are Atma. But Atma does not have them. Between these subtle aspects, mind, intellect, sense organs, organs of actions, physiological functions, there is no possessor-possessed connection between Atma and them. Atma does not possess them. Can you say water possesses waves? Can you say that? Does water possess the waves? Water owns the waves? No. There is no possessed connection between waves and water. Waves are water. Water does not have waves. Is it clear? They are separate. Like that, Atma does not possess any of the subtle aspects. Atma does not have them, even though all are Atma. Okay, there cannot be mind which can exist by itself without the blessing of Atma. There cannot be sense organs without the blessing of Atma. There cannot be organs of actions without the presence of Atma. All of them are dependent on Atma for their very existence. All are Atma. But Atma, Atma means what here? Abstract, subtlest reality obtained in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, does not have subtle aspects. Atma is free. Atma is distinct from all of them. Next. Avranam. See, vranam means wound. Wound. Wound in the body. Any wound happens is called avranam. Avranam means Atma is free from physical wounds. Which means Atma is free from physical body. Free from physical body means Atma does, this is distinct from physical body. Distinct from physical body means Atma does not have physical body. Atma does not own, have, possess physical body. Is it clear? Why? The physical body is Atma. Atma doesn't. Atma is of pure consciousness, which is the truth of I, but consciousness does not have gross body. But there cannot be a gross body without the blessing of Atma. Therefore, gross body is Atma, but Atma does not have gross body. Atma does not have gross body means what? Atma has no birth, Atma has no death, Atma doesn't have old age, Atma has no, Atma does not have any problems of physical body. Atma, is it clear? You say Atma is, Atma doesn't have physical body, Atma is not the physical body, Atma is distinct from physical body, means Atma does not have problems associated with the physical body. What is Atma? Abstract reality. In what form does reality obtain? Reality obtains in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. We are listening to all this like a story. Do we take it seriously? It must think. So Atma, Atma what? I am Atma. And this is when you understand Atma, you have to come. Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness means you should immediately think I am Atma. I, this self, am consciousness, am of the nature of all pervasiveness. I am Atma is self-effulgent reality. I am consciousness, the self-effulgent consciousness. Atma is akayam. I am akayam. I, the self, am consciousness. I am consciousness. I am free from subtle aspects. Subtle world. I am not the mind's body sense organs. I am consciousness distinct from subtle body. I am free from the problems of mind. I am free from impurities of mind. I, consciousness, am free from all impurities of mind, problems of mind, sadness, etc. I am free from the problems of physiological functions, hunger, thirst, etc. I am Atma. You say Atma is of this nature, immediately we should remember I am free from. Next. So, avranam. Asnaviragam. Asnaviragam. So, snava means muzzle, Snava also means sinews. Snava means nerves. Snava means tendons. Even blood vessels. The word snava has so many meanings. Anyway, so snava also asnavirakam means Atma does not have muscles, sinews, and nerves or tendons. What does it mean? Atma is not physical body. These two words, avranam, asnavirakam. A is a negative particle, okay? Asnavirakam, avranam. These two words negate the physical body. Atma is not the physical body. Atma is not distant from physical body, but distinct from physical body. Atma is abstract, formless reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Which is of the nature of consciousness. Okay. Now, we already negated two bodies. The word akayam negated subtle body. Avranam asnavaragam negated grass body. Two bodies. Then shuddham. Now again the word has come. Shukram, shuddham literally mean the same. But that shukram we have taken as self-effulgence. Now shuddham means pure. Atma is of the nature of purity. Means what? Atma does not do any actions. Atma is not the doer. Consciousness does not. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Atma is not the doer. Atma is not the enjoyer. Atma is free from doership, enjoyership. Atma is free from all forms of punya, papams. Atma has no punyam. Atma has no papam. Atma has no sukham, dukham. Atma has no honor, dishonor. Atma has no victory, defeat. Atma has no loss and gain. Atma has no success or failure. Atma is free from all impurities. No jealousy, no hatred, no anger, no fear, no anxiety. Atma is ever of the nature of absolute purity. We already understood when I said karma phalam is sanskaryam. See, refinement is one of the results of action. We already understood Atma is not a result of action because Atma is not subject to any refinement. No, Atma, no dirt or impurity can be removed from Atma. No embellishment also can be done to Atma. Atma is of the nature of absolute purity. What dirt, impurity can be removed from Atma? What beauty can be given to Atma? Atma, we said, Atma is of the nature of beauty in terms of fullness, in terms of love. Therefore, Atma is ever of the nature of purity. Shuddham. Then again he said, Apapaviddham.
Apapaviddham.
Apapaviddham. See, papam means punyam and papam both. Viddham means afflicted. Apapaviddham. Atma has no punya papam. Atma is free from any afflictions. Atma is unafflicted by any punya papam. It means what? I am free from all punya bhavams. If you put your eye in consciousness Atma, then you can 100% you can say, I am unafflicted by punya bhavam. I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, I do not have any punya bhavam. So no more complaints. Okay, so the first line is over. The first line presents words which reveal the nature of reality obtained as one's own self, implied by the term Atma. Now, next verse. Next line, present Atma Rupam. Sopadhika Atma Rupam. How Atma is? Kavarmanishi. What is the first word? Kavihi. I'm sorry. Stop now. Next slide, we'll come back. We will come back. Still we have Vashyam. After just seeing the literal meaning of the mantra, again we'll unfold. Okay? So first line analyzes essential nature of reality. So nirupadhika atmaswarupam. So second line discusses sopadhika atmarupam. We'll come back and see. Any questions?
You talk about the Ajivamukta, right? And you say Ajivamukta is a free person in this world, right?
While living.
Yeah.
Jivan means living, Mukta means free. Free while living.
Yeah. So, but Swami Shivananda says only when the jiva leaves his body is the union with Brahman is complete. So a jiva mukta experience some kind of bondage being in the body. It's clear.
No. What it means is the two muktis, videha mukti, jivan mukti. A person who has clear vision, ascertained vision, when a person is alive, you are free. Physically, you still have physical body, but still, where is the bondage? Bondage is in your mind. In ignorance is bondage. If ignorance goes, you are free. See, bondage and freedom are notional. Notion caused bondage. Notion caused freedom. There is no real bondage. There is no real freedom. You know that? In your notion, you are bound. When you have no strong notion, you are bound. You have all been what? Having notion that I am bound means what? See, also being a limited individual. I am a limited individual. I was born. Now I am going to die. I don't want to die. I want to be there for other people. I want to be for my children. I don't want to die. I have to. But death is inevitable. I don't want to be sick, but I am falling sick. Body has problems. Isn't it? I want more comforts. I don't have more comforts. Always there is a sense of limitation, sense of smallness, such as I. So, I am bound is a notion. Seeing oneself being limited, seeing oneself subject to all these so-called problems we see in the world, isn't it? This is what is bondage. And this bondage is purely notional. Where is the bondage? Really, there is no bondage. In your notion, you think you are bound. It's a strong notion. If I come and simply tell you, oh, you are not bound, you are free. Like nowadays, new people are, new, there are lots of videos available, okay? If you go to YouTube, you are free. You are conscious. Where is your problem? You are free. You are free. You are free. You listen to me like this. Your Atma, you're free. get up and go out, you will come, will be hungry, okay? Immediately headache comes, why headache? Now what I want to say, actually it is a very strong notion. Simply listen to somebody telling your Atma, you are free, is of no use. You must see that you are Atma. If I tell you are Atma, if you listen to me, you are Atma, you are believing that you are Atma. You should not believe that you are Atma. You should know the fact that you are Atma. Believing is different from knowing, seeing. Okay? But unfortunately, it's a very strong notion in your mind that I am bound. I am limited. I am with all problems. Notion. But really, are you bound? No. You are not bound actually. The fact is you are never bound. Why? You are the very truth. This is a fact. You are the truth and you are the abstract reality, essentially. You have to tell every wave, come on wave, you are not a small wave which is coming and going, you are essentially water. Like that, you are essentially all pervasive, abstract, subtlest reality consciousness. Okay? This is a fact. But sir, you are ever free. You never do you become bound. You are ever free. Nitya muktaha, nitya shuddaha, nityam is what? Eternally free. Beginninglessly free, endlessly free. Always you are free. Freedom is your sarupam. This is a fact. This is a fact. You are never bound. I am bound is not a fact. It's a notion. This is an erroneous notion you entertain about yourself, which is called ahankara. In fact, any wrong notion you entertain about yourself is ahankara. And this notion is that not that you want to entertain a wrong notion about yourself. This no erroneous notion you entertain helplessly, choicelessly. Why? Because you see yourself, you take all the limitations of the body, mind, sense, compass, and take your limitations. Again, you do not do it purposely because in your perception of yourself itself is wrong. Because you see the body as yourself, you see mind as yourself, you see sense organs as yourself, you have I sense scattered all over. Not only physical body, your I sense, you have Dehi Atma Buddhi, Manasi Atma Buddhi, Indriyeshu Atma Buddhi, you have I sense everywhere. Sometimes your identity is with sense organs. When you say I am deaf, I am blind, etc., your identity is with sense organs. I am hungry, I am thirsty, when you say your identity is with physiological functions. I am fat, I am thin, I am sick, when you say your identity is with physical body. You helplessly, choicelessly, I is identified with everything. Subtle, ignorance, knowledge, the mind, sense organs, the body, everything. Why I is identified with everything? Because you do not even know what this I is. I is an expression which I use to refer to myself. Not only I use, every individual human being uses I to refer to one's own self, not knowing actually what this I is. I is one of the subtlest aspects obtaining in the form of thought associated with this body, mind, sense complex. Like how a root of a tree is part of the whole tree, root itself is not a tree. Is it clear? Like I itself is not an individual. I is one of the aspects obtained in of a thought which comes and goes, which is associated with this body mind complex. One of the components is I sense. You do not know what this I sense is. You are not able to distinguish the I sense from rest of the components which constitute the individual human being. You can't distinguish. You are not able to distinguish. You're only blessed with the human being is blessed with the essence, that's all. To see human, how you see this fan, let it cognitively you analyze what a human being is. A human being is, there are many aspects. Human being is a composite of many aspects. What is a car? Many products, many spare parts put together intelligently is a car. Where the steering to be, where the seat should be, where the door should be, where the wheel should be. Like many spare parts put together intelligently is a car. Many spare parts put together intelligently is a fan. And everything serves a purpose. Like the human being is a many components put together. A composite of many aspects put together intelligently. The physical body, there's the internal organs, it's all gross, then subtle powers, and okay, the physiological functions, there's a mind, amazing mind, the human mind. Amazing. The one of the most wonderful, the highest form of manifestations of knowledge is human mind. Nothing greater than mind, know that. And mind, and there, you know, I sense. The highest form of manifestation is eyes. Without I sense, there's no human being. But I sense itself is not a human being. Like without a wheel, there cannot be a car. But wheel itself is not a car. Without steering, there's no car. But steering itself is not a car. Like I sense alone is not a human being. But without I sense, there's no human being. Is it clear now? Without head, there's no body. But head is just not the body. Like that. I sense one of the aspects which form the human being. But the I sense is distinct from the rest of the aspects. We do not even distinguish it. This I sense, which is distinct from the body, is unfortunately is identified with the body. Taking the root for the whole tree is your problem. Is it clear? Root tree, even though the root is part of the tree, not distinct from the tree, but still root itself is on the tree. Is it clear? Like here, I sense is one of the aspects which form the individual, and I sense subtle, not like this body. Distinct. So you don't even know that it is distinct from the rest of the aspects of the individual body. At the same time, because you do not know, this I sense is identified. Not because you, not that you want to identify, helplessly, choice, okay, helplessly, the I sense is identified with the body. Then body, mind, sense, complex, take it to be your I sense, I. Once you take them, the limitations of this body, mind, sense, complex become superimposed upon I. Then the wrong motion comes. What? I is small. I mean, put grammatically correct. I am small. I am insignificant. I am unhappy. I am going to die. I am punyavan. I am papi. I am a sinner. Although commentary, you are a sinner. Understand? You are not here. So what I am saying is all notion. The fact is, I is consciousness. I am consciousness. I is a manifestation of knowledge, the source of which is pure knowledge. Wave is water, a form of water, which rises from water, exists in water, results in water. Okay? I is a knowledge which rises from pure knowledge, exists in pure knowledge, results in knowledge. What is I essentially? Pure knowledge. Pure consciousness. But unfortunately, helplessness. So we have to understand our helplessness. Not that we want to have wrong notions. Okay? There is a wrong notion. I am bound. Because a notion caused bondage. There's no real bondage. It means the notion has to be error in a notion be corrected. Ram motion has to be resolved. How are you going to resolve it? Vijnana. Once knowledge takes place, ignorance goes, knowledge comes. When in ignorance, knowledge resolves. If ignorance resolves, an ignorance caused notion also is resolved. It's all in the mind. Where is the notion? Wrong motion is there, wrong notion goes. You're free. And as long as you entertain wrong notion, you are bound, as though bound. When the wrong notion is corrected, wrong notion is resolved, as though you become free. Bondage is not real. Freedom also is not real, as though. Because notion caused bondage is resolved by, okay, resolved in knowledge. That is why, if this knowledge happens when you are alive, it is jivan mukti. You are free while living. But we can't go against nature. As long as parabdha is there, karma is there, no, this body, mind's complex will be there. This exists in the realm of an order. There is a time for this order is there. When it should go, it will go. It will get in this integrate. One day, whether jnani or ajnani, for everybody, body, we cannot hold on to this. Somebody asked me, if I become a jnani while living, can I live forever with my body? No. Some people want to attain jnana, they think they can live forever holding on this body. This is another problem. People want jnana, why? I want to be immortal, Swamiji. How immortal? I don't want to leave this physical body. I don't want this body to have wrinkles and white hair. I want to have ever fresh and ever 16 young. That is not possible. People have a lot of understanding. Okay? Bondage is in your mind, in your notion. That is why notion needs correction. Again, notion goes free. It's not outside. Whether you have a body, you don't have a body, it doesn't matter. Problem is in your mind. Why do you bother about the body? One day it will fall apart. If you understand, if you attain jnana in this class, what a blessing for me as a teacher. You know, you are free right now. You are already free. Your notion has to be resolved. But it needs a lot of understanding because until teaching. I'll tell you, come back and talk to you about Dhinidhyasana. I'm going to talk to you before I go anyway. Definitely I'll make a lot of things clarify little things. So, you're free. And when the parabdha gets exhausted, this body will fall apart. What happens once jnana takes place, as you live as a free person already, that's why in your perception, it's all perspective change. Nothing is done physically, cognitive, perspective change. Physically, nothing is done here. So, you're free, jivan mukta. And the body one day falls. Then the mind will not come back assuming another body. Rebirth is not possible for a wise person. Why? Because the mind is a wise person's mind. Where there is wisdom, that mind will resolve for good. What is the seed of mind? What sustains the mind? Ignorance. Ignorance is not a crime. Okay? Once ignorance is resolved, in the wake of knowledge, we are not destroying ignorance. Ignorance will be resolved in the wake of knowledge, then the mind cannot be there. Mind will resolve. Mind is resolved, assumption of another body is not possible. Again, being born again with the body. What is it which is born? Atma is not born. Mind comes back. Physical body gets disintegrated, mind continues to survive, mind assumes another body, comes back into life. Mind assuming another body, being born again, is called a rebirth. Atma doesn't have hope with first birth. Where's the question of having second birth? Atma never have only one birth, first birth. Atma doesn't have rebirth. The rebirth is mind coming back again and again and again, assuming new physical forms is called rebirth. Mind leaving the body is called death. Really, death and birth are two incidents. Okay? Changes happening. Just a change. Birth is a change, death is a change. That's the change, big changes, that's all. It's not destruction. There's no total destruction of anything here. Okay? So, that not returning is called Vilaya Mukti. That's what Shivan Maharaj must have said. See, the problem is Mahatmas cannot say anything wrong things. One thing is we have to understand them correctly. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om. May Bhagavan Paramatma bless all of us with a clear understanding of the teaching. May all of us benefit from the study of the Upanishad. May all of us be blessed to enjoy the benefit of knowledge.